The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The late Dr. Charles Ryrie was a professor of systematic theology at Dallas Theological Seminary. One of the classes he taught was soteriology. We have a question today about whether or not he was clear and consistent on the free grace message. Let's have a little bit of DTS history as we look back and talk about this question here on Grace in Focus. Thank you, friend, for being with us today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Come and learn more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Among other things, you will find there a magazine that we produce 6 times per year. It is done with excellence, a number of great articles, full-color, full-size magazine, and it's subscription-free. Free all but postage. Postage is free if you live in the 48 contiguous United States. Otherwise, you have to pay postage. Find out more and get subscribed today at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, Mike, I think you've got a question from Oliver. What's his question about?
Question is regarding Charles Ryrie's position on James 2. He came across this quote from Ryrie's study Bible on James 2:24, which concerns him. The quote is, "This verse is the reply to the question of verse 14. Unproductive faith cannot save because it is not genuine faith. Faith and works are like a 2-coupon ticket to heaven. The coupon of works is not good for passage, and the coupon of faith is not valid if detached from works."
And that's a quote from the Ryrie Study Bible?
Yeah, I guess Oliver's concern is, well, given this quote, Ryrie's position on James 2, how can we, you know, consider him free grace and in agreement with GS or, you know, with
right.
free grace teaching in particular?
Good question, Oliver. And this is hits close to home because Dr. Ryrie was one of my professors at Dallas Seminary. In fact, he was my professor for the course on doctrine of salvation, soteriology. And I remember him giving the faith is not good if detached illustration. And I cringed. The funny thing about Dr. Ryrie is on this issue, the issue of soteriology or the doctrine of salvation, he was a mass of inconsistencies. On the one hand, he would say, we're saved by grace, through faith, apart from works, apart from repentance, apart from submission, apart from surrender. It's none of those things. He had a chapter in one of his books, I think it may have been Balancing the Christian Life, where he talked about lordship salvation, and he pointed out that lordship salvation was an error. And I think he even cited the people in Ephesus who burned their magic books a year and a half after they had come to faith. And he said, look, they didn't have to turn from their sins to be saved. They just had to believe. That's all anybody has to do. So on the one hand, Dr. Ryrie was a champion of the free grace position, and he stood against lordship salvation. And Dr. Ryrie, believe it or not, also ordained me. And he came to my church. I called him and asked him if he would do it. And I had a council where they asked me questions, and he was one of the questioners. And then when I passed the exam, then he came back and preached my ordination sermon.
Yeah. I also know that I think Zane helped Dr. Ryrie on the Ryrie Study Bible.
Did he?
Yeah. One day I was at Luis Rodriguez's house, and there was a page from the 1611 King James Bible on his wall.
Wow.
And he said he had gotten that from Zane, and Zane had received that as a gift from Dr. Ryrie for his contributions to the Ryrie Study Bible. I mean, it's obvious Zane didn't help out on the James 2 passage, but
wow.
It must have been elsewhere in the Ryrie Study Bible.
Well, you know, that's a big gift because a leaf from the Gutenberg Bible was worth, I don't know, like $5,000-$10,000 for one page.
Ryrie had a collection of old ancient Bibles that were quite valuable.
Right. He loved books, and he loved the Bible, and I think very highly of Dr. Ryrie. He was a friend of mine. He was one of my faculty members. I think he was one of the clearer faculty members. But basically, one of the things we need to recognize is Dallas Seminary, at the time I was there, between 78 and 85, basically had a lot of old-line professors like Dr. Walvoord, like Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost, like Dr. Ryrie, who would say it's by grace, through faith, apart from works, apart from repentance, apart from commitment. But if you're truly saved, you will persevere, at least to some degree, in faith and good works. Now, in Dr. Ryrie's case, I think he actually held the view that a believer could die out of fellowship with God. They could die as a carnal believer. I'm not sure if he held the view they could die in apostasy. I don't recall his view on that.
I thought he did believe that a believer could die in apostasy, because I remember Zane answering a question.
Okay.
And that he said Zane had a conversation with Dr. Ryan. He did say, absolutely, a person can apostate and still go to heaven because they believed at one point in their
life. Right. Most of these old line Dallas were four-point Calvinists.
Yeah.
They didn't buy limited atonement, the third point of Tulip. But they did buy the other points. But in the fifth point on the perseverance of the saints, Dr. Ryrie was extremely wishy-washy. I think his view was there would be some good works somewhere, sometime, but it was not a guarantee of perseverance in those good works. Mm-hmm. So when he said you got this two-coupon ticket, you had to have some works. You didn't have perseverance in good works. You had to have some works. Well, to me, that's kind of an odd position anyway, because in my view, there's not a single unbeliever who dies without good works. Unbelievers have been created in the image of God, and even though it's marred by the fall, even unbelievers do some good things.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
I would argue that all believers do some good works unless they die at the point of faith, but that doesn't prove they're born again, and it also doesn't prove they're persevering in good works. They could fall away and die, and it doesn't even prove they're in fellowship with God, because a believer out of fellowship with God is going to do some good works. So I think the whole point of Oliver's question is an outstanding one. And I would say that Dr. Ryrie was inconsistent, as many people are.
Yeah, but I think Dr. Ryrie would tell a believer to say, look at your works to derive assurance, right?
He would never do that. I'm not sure where he stood on the issue of did an unbeliever need to believe that by faith in Jesus, they had everlasting life that can never be lost. In other words, I'm not sure if he was what we would call a focused free grace person or a flexible free grace person. Dr. Ryrie is famous for his statement that if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name.
Right.
I quote him on that all the time.
Yeah.
So did Zane Hodges.
Yeah.
He would quote him on that.
Yeah.
The question I have is, was Dr. Ryrie saying that as something that a believer needed to grasp, or was he saying that's something an unbeliever needed to grasp? I'm not sure. I don't ever remember talking to Dr. Ryrie about it. But I do know that, like I say, he and Zane were good friends. He stood up for Zane when many people were criticizing Zane. So I tend to think he was probably an inconsistent, focused free grace person, but I don't know for sure. But I think what Oliver's bringing up illustrates the fact that even a person who's wonderfully clear on most aspects of theology and even most aspects of soteriology can still have some blind spots.
Yeah, and I think even with James 2, I think we've seen a shift from when I first read Dr. Ryrie's work on So Great a Salvation, I'd say his view of James 2 was the prevailing view among those who profess free grace.
Right.
And it wasn't until I saw, there was a, I think in the footnotes, some discussion about James 2 and Zane's Absolutely Free book. I was like, oh, this alternative view, it actually fits the context, it fits the book, you know, fits the uses, the way saved is used throughout the Epistle of James. This really makes a lot of sense. But at that point, I would kind of had maybe a view similar to Ryrie's. Yeah, a believer will produce some good work sometimes, somewhere, but you should never put your assurance in those works, and you need to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. And so that was a way to try to reconcile some problem passages.
And by the way, I don't think Dr. Ryrie would ever tell anybody to look to their works for assurance.
Right.
I don't think his understanding of James 2 was meant for that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, as I recall, I think we published Zane's commentary on James in around, I think it was 95.
Yeah.
Dr. Ryrie would have seen that, and I wonder if he came around. I don't think they ever edited the Ryrie Study Bible. In other words, I don't think he had a chance to change his notes. So it's quite possible that when Dr. Ryrie was made aware of Hodges' view on James 2, that he came around on that.
Yeah, the Ryrie Study Bible is a snapshot of his views at the time that he wrote. We don't know what happened later after that.
Yeah, I mean, I was at Dallas Seminary when the New Testament version of the Ryrie Study Bible, they gave us, every student at the time got a free copy of the Ryrie Study Bible New Testament. And if I remember right, that was around 1978 or 9. Somewhere in there in chapel, they gave us all one. And then I think the whole Bible came out like a year later after that. And I have, by the way, a Ryrie Study Bible, you know, the whole Bible. And I appreciate his notes. They're good for the most part. Just his one on James 2:14 is not one of the good ones.
Right. Yeah. And even with his view on James 2, I'm certain Dr. Ryrie was not believing in his works as his basis of why he has everlasting life or be destined for God's kingdom forever.
Right. So the fact that Dr. Ryrie made a major mistake on his interpretation of James 2 doesn't mean that he wasn't clear on the free gift of everlasting life, which was by grace, through faith, apart from works, apart from repentance, apart from anything but believing in Jesus for our salvation. I believe he was clear on that. And we should rejoice in that, but reject something he would say that was inconsistent. And in my view, when I heard him in class, I thought, well, this is just a blind spot for him, but it's inconsistent with everything else he taught.
Yeah, and he would never evangelize with James 2. And wasn't he the one that said, like, oh, if you have 1 minute, I want you to write down what you're going to share?
At the beginning of class, when I took my soteriology class, he had us write down 25 words or less how you would evangelize. And if you said anything about turning from sins, commitment of life, surrender, you mark it wrong. It was only believing in Jesus for everlasting life or for your salvation. That was okay. But anything else? Nope. And he wanted people to quote John 3:16. So, yeah, Dr. Ryrie, I believe, was a champion of the free grace position at a time when not everybody was at all clear on this issue. Lordship salvation was gaining a lot of momentum in the 70s.
Very good. And let's all
keep grace
in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, can a believer walk in darkness and remain a believer? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.